From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, What It Means to Hallow the Lord's Name, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's selection is called Deliverance from Dust and Chaff. The text is Amos chapter 9 and verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. The sifting process is going on still. Wherever we go, we are still being winnowed and sifted. In all countries, God's people are being tried, like as corn sifted in a sieve. Sometimes the devil holds the sieve and tosses us up and down at a great rate, with the earnest desire to get rid of us forever. Unbelief is not slow to agitate our heart and mind with its restless fears. The world lends a willing hand at the same process and shakes us to the right and to the left with great vigor. Worst of all, the church, so largely apostate as it is, comes in to give a more furious force to the sifting process. Well, well, let it go on. Thus is the chaff severed from the wheat. Thus is the wheat delivered from dust and chaff. And how great is the mercy which comes to us in the text. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All shall be preserved that is good, true, gracious. Not one of the least of believers shall be lost, neither shall any believer lose anything worth calling a loss. We shall be so kept in the sifting that it shall be a real gain to us through Christ Jesus. Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. Currently, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the first petition in the prayer, Hallowed be thy name. This is the first and foremost element of prayer, the desire for God to glorify his own holy name. The implications of this petition are many and far-reaching. Certainly, if we would hallow God's holy name, we must worship him with holy reverence and have no fear to honor him before all men. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called What It Means to Hallow God's Name.
Going through my psalm for this morning, the 101st psalm, I must say I was somewhat convicted right at the very beginning, because the psalmist said, I will sing unto the Lord. Just like that, the thought hit me. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Why do we like particular hymns and use particular hymns and particular tunes? There may be a variety of reasons and answers to that. And I thought, this is a man I very rarely quote, and I am certainly not endorsing all that he ever said or thought, though mind you, he's become almost an icon even in Reformed religion. That's C.S. Lewis. But I thought of an article that Lewis wrote many, many, many years ago. And it was on the subject of music. It's a very interesting article. Very insightful article. They said, ultimately, you know, our music, our singing must have two great reasons. Number one, must magnify the Lord. And secondly, must edify the soul. When you stop to think of that, you think of, and I'm a great lover of good gospel music, good gospel singing, good church hymns, and people singing with all their heart. But I have to keep reminding myself that it is very, very possible for us to stir up a surface fleshly emotion and get no further. 5 minutes after you've sung it, or 10 minutes, or an hour, all its benefit has disappeared. It is really not edifying to the soul. And we have concentrated so much upon ourselves that we have lost sight of the glory of God. Men and women, when we sing not to each other but to the Lord. When we worship, we are worshiping directly our God and our Redeemer. There must be this consuming passion in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, glorify thy name. Thirdly, when we pray this prayer, hallowed be thy name, we are praying, cause us to worship thee with holy reverence, with holy fear. You see, as the psalmist says in Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and reverend, or holy and to be feared, is his name. We were reading this morning that incomparable passage in Isaiah chapter 6, where one seraph cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This is the idea. When they saw the holiness of God, when his name was sanctified, the very angels of glory worshipped with fear. And when Isaiah caught the same vision, he cried out, woe is me! He was struck with a godly fear. In fact, in chapter 8 of this same prophecy, verse 13, the instruction is plain, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. There's one thing missing today in 20th century Christianity. It is the fear of God. Far too many of us have bought into the charismatic nonsense that destroys the fear of God. Where God is addressed in unseemly terms, where our puny little brains flip from one trivial subject to another, even in prayer, even in preaching, and there is little concentration upon the greatness of God. And I tell you, this lack is cursing evangelicalism. It is cursing even the Reformed faith. There is, I'm not saying it's an avalanche, but there is a significant departure in these days from Protestant churches and from Reformed churches back to liturgical churches, to the Church of Rome, which is totally inexcusable for any reason, and to the Greek Orthodox Church, which is equally inexcusable for any reason. But why is there this drift? When I have read the testimonies of those who have gone back into those benighted systems, where there is no clear understanding of the gospel of justifying grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ. What I'm hearing is this, that in modern evangelicalism, everything has become so man-centered. God is just the appendage of man. God is simply the sentimental object of man's emotion. Or God is simply the source of man's blessing. And people have said, we have gone back into these things in order to recover the idea of the holy greatness and majesty of God. A God before whom we bow in holy reverence and fear. And while I totally, entirely, and unreservedly condemn the departure into such movements, I equally, totally, entirely, and unreservedly commend the desire for an entire religious environment that is centered around the transcendent greatness and glory of God, that humbles the pride of man in the dust and leaves us with a reverential awe. The idea that family closeness, adoption into the family of God, cannot coexist with godly fear is far from biblical. Isaiah was God's chosen instrument for a great work, and yet he feared before the Lord. Moses was a man closer to God than any other. In fact, of all the Old Testament prophets, Moses stands uniquely. God says, I'll speak to all the rest through dreams and visions. There will be ways in which I will inspire them, but with Moses, I will speak face to face. The only prophet who had that said of him, I'll speak to him face to face. Yet Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos saw the vision of the risen Christ. Enough to thrill the heart, you would say. Enough to set you dancing. That's what the charismatic would say. Man, this would set you dancing. No, sir. He fell to the ground as one dead. Struck with holy awe. Struck with godly fear. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're praying, Lord, cause us to worship thee with holy reverence. But we're also praying, cause us so to fear our God that we will never fear to stand for thee before men. As I have often put it, to have such a sight of the face of God that we will never again fear the face of man. Peter writes to the young Christians, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And he goes on to tell them to be ready always to give an answer to him that asks a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. What is he saying here? He's saying, look, these terrible forces, and they were really terrible forces, the forces of Roman persecution and Jewish connivance with them, are set against you. They are meant to strike terror into your heart so that you will be afraid to be disciples of Christ. You will be afraid to be witnesses of God. You will be afraid to be out there winning souls. You will be afraid of your life. That's the whole purpose of this terror. But Peter says, do not be afraid of their terror. Why? How? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. When His name is hallowed in your heart, when the fear of God grips your heart, it will eclipse the fear of man. In other words, the fear of God leads you to liberty. The fear of God leads you to victory. The fear of God leads you to purity and power in your life. The fear of man always casts a snare and brings you into bondage. Hallowed be thy name also means, Lord, cause us to honor and to obey thee. You remember what the Lord said to Moses concerning his decision that Moses would not enter the promised land. He gave him the reason. Numbers 27:14, for ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. Notice this carefully. Moses' disobedience, according to the Lord, was a failure to sanctify His name. Disobedience is failure to sanctify the Lord's name. Sanctifying His name is obeying His word. And therefore we pray, when we say this prayer, hallowed be thy name, let us not do anything in disobedience to thee that would profane thy name. That's the Lord's command, you know. Leviticus 22:32 is still in the Bible for every Christian. He says, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. See how he's using this? Do not profane my name. Do not disobey my word. Do not disregard my commandment. If you do that, you profane me. But I want you to know I will be hallowed. My name must be hallowed. And as we'll see in just a moment, it will either be hallowed through my sanctification of your life for godly service, or it will be hallowed in judgment and in chastening. Hallowed be thy name simply means, therefore, Lord, let me not do anything that is unworthy of the great and holy name that we bear. We must walk worthy of our God, of His kingdom, and of His glory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.